Chapter 10, it's page 870 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10 or to 21, Pastor Tim?
We'll do 1 to 10.
Thank you. Verse 1 to 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Thanks, Gord. So now that you've heard that passage for the second time this morning, because Alicia read it earlier as well, we're going to look at what Jesus is saying here, and we're going to look at how it applies to our lives. As we usually do with any sermon, where do you get your advice from? Who do you listen to? You know, in our day and age, we are inundated with all sorts of information. I think you'll agree to that. I love YouTube. I really do. I love YouTube for their instruction videos. And so, some years ago, I look at these things all the time for how to fix my own stuff. Because, you know, I'm Dutch and I'm cheap and I like to fix my own stuff rather than pay somebody else exorbitant amounts of money to do that. Years ago, I had a washing machine that sort of busted. The agitator didn't run anymore. And so I talked to a service guy that I know, and he says, "You don't want me coming by." I said, "Yeah, I really do want you coming by because I want my washing machine fixed." He goes, "No, just look it up on YouTube." He says, $20. He says, "You get the part for $20. He says, "It takes you 10 minutes. You got it done." And sure enough, looked it up on YouTube, ordered the part in. Just a wee little thing between the motor and the agitator was sort of messed up. It was a plastic part. 10 minutes, take the thing apart, put the new part back in. Perfect. Ran like that until we gave it to our son. Now it's his problem. And I think it's still running. Where do you get your advice from? I just got my advice. I just told you I got my advice from YouTube. And that's great if you want to unclog your bathroom drain or if you wanted to figure out how to do an oil change on your car, or if you wanted to fix your washing machine. But when the bottom drops out of your life, who do you go to? Who do you talk to? Who do you listen to? We're continuing our walk through in our sermon series of the I Am statements of Jesus. And I need to say this every time that we go through this through this sermon series, because some of us haven't heard it before. That whenever Jesus says, "I am," he is saying, "I myself am." This is the literal translation. I am. I myself am. And he's aligning himself with God Almighty. Way back in Exodus 3. Way back in Exodus chapter 3, when God is in the burning bush and God's talking to Moses, and God says to Moses, when you go to the Israelites and when you go to Pharaoh, say that I am has sent you. Jesus is aligning himself with this statement. And Jesus' hearers and the first readers of John, those people who first heard this, would understand that terminology as being aligning themselves, as Jesus aligning himself with Almighty God. And then there's always an I am, and then there's a predicate afterwards, the after phrase, the phrase that comes after it. And that gives us a characteristic of Almighty God. Today is I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. And as Alicia was pointing to, and I was sort of thinking, man, I don't need to preach anymore because she's just saying it all for me. This is great. But as Alicia says today, she said that we only come to salvation through the gate, through Christ. But I want to relay this in a little bit of a different light. That's the obvious, but I want to relay this in a little bit of a different light. As how do you give advice to others to use that gate to go to Christ? Last week and the week before, we took a look at the I am statements of I am the vine and I am the light of the world. And in the statement of I am the vine, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And so by extension then, Jesus is saying, you are part of the kingdom work of God by extension. You take your all your energy from the vine, which is Christ himself. And you reach out into the world by extension. And you show your fruit to others, which is the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those things. You show that, and by that you are showing the world that you are part of the vine. And last week, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, meaning that he shines light into the darkest regions of the world. But he also says in Matthew 5 that you, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light of the world. Meaning that his audience is his audience that was listening to the Sermon on the Mount, all those that were there, hearing the word from the light himself, is the light of the world. Which means that we all are the light of the world as well. And that by extension, again, we go into the darkest reaches of the world and reflect the light of Christ. We are that reflection. And when Jesus says, I am the gate, he is making an absolute truth claim here. He's saying, it's only through me. Only through me. There is no other. Let me give you an idea of what Jesus was talking about, because the people in those days understood what shepherding in those days was all about. Even shepherding nowadays is way different, and I'm sure sheep farmers will agree with me. Shepherding was, we had a sheep pen. The text talks about a sheep pen. It was a stone wall. It was a stone wall that stood about this tall, maybe a little taller. Okay, and it went around, and there was a very narrow narrow entranceway to that stone wall. In between the stone wall could have been the odd tree, if you can imagine that, a tree and then stone wall and then a tree and stone wall, just to sort of break things up a bit. And then on the outside of this stone wall, they would grow thorn bushes as to further dissuade any kind of predator, be it animal predator or a human predator, from getting in. Because the animal predator and the human predator both had the same intentions in mind. I want to get this for my food. And so the sheep pens were built this way for half of the season. They went to the sheep pens for half of the season. And the shepherd would stand in the doorway. The shepherd himself would be the gate. Nothing went in or out of the sheep pen without the shepherd allowing it. Not only knowing about it, but allowing it. Because the shepherd himself, too, was someone who was armed. He had a large staff, a large stick, heavy duty, and he knew how to use it. Like David. David fought off bears and lions when he was a shepherd. David also had a sling with some stones. He knew how to use it. He was skilled in that way. And so you could see how the shepherd was ready for battle against those who may have less than honorable intentions to try to get into this sheep pen. The other half of the year, they didn't stay in the sheep pen, but they moved to a different locale. They went to the mountainous regions where there were all these low caves. And some of these low caves, it's believed that Mary had Jesus in one of these low caves. Cave would be about this tall, good for sheep to get in and out. They could be rather deep. They could hold quite a bit. But it was very secure as well, because nothing, of course, would get in or out except through the entrance. And, of course, there's the shepherd again, standing there in the entranceway, guarding his flock. And so this is the context that Jesus is talking about. This is what he's saying, that it's only through him. And so if you're looking for advice today, when the bottom drops out of your life, say you have a serious illness, say someone in your household has passed away, say anything, you have a child who's deathly ill, you have a car accident that just happened, or your financial problems have just skyrocketed because you've lost your job. When the bottom drops out, who do you go to? Who are you listening to? You see, I'm afraid that many of us and many people in this world would go to the information section of their lives, which just happens to be media. We love media. We look at it, we read it, we love it all the time. And media has its place. But right from magazines to newspapers to radio to television to the internet and all the social constructs that are within that, we often are inundated with advice on everything that happens in our lives. On everything. And I think you'll agree. It starts with Dear Abby in the paper, right? People call it right to Dear Abby. I don't even know if that exists anymore. Does that exist anymore, Dear Abby? I have no idea. But I got a problem with this. I got a problem with this, my boyfriend or whatever. And then Dear Abby writes back, and then, oh, yeah, okay. So you can take advice from Dear Abby, or you can take advice from a celebrity on a talk show. On TV. Nowadays, anybody with any kind of a computer or smartphone can put an advice column on YouTube on how to handle any problem in your life. Any Joe Blow can figure it out. Any Joe Blow can put it out there. And it gets pushed to your phone. Where do you get your advice from? Who do you go to? You see, when Jesus is talking of that he is the gate, that he is the only way, chances are is that the advice that you'll get anywhere else is not going to be the same. Chances are is that the advice that you will get is going to be contrary to that, saying that there are many ways to get to heaven. There are many ways to get yourself right with God. There are many ways to do this. You don't only need to be, you can be any religion you want, and you'll be right with God. You just have to do good works, and you'll be right with God. Jesus isn't saying that here. He's saying, me, I am. That's what he's saying. I am the gate. And you know what? Jesus really doesn't care how you feel about it. Because it's the truth. And you may not like it, but that's tough. And that's too bad for you. And that's a tough message to bring to the world in these days. Can I hear an amen out of that? It's tough because I think you'll agree with me that we Christians, we don't want to rock the boat a whole lot. We want to live peaceably with others, and we should. And so we sort of agree with them. We say, well, you know, if that works for you, that's okay. I know that. I do that myself sometimes. Very rarely do I stand up and say, you know what, this is about Jesus, and sorry, the way that you feel about it is just too bad. And then you get, or anybody who says that, gets labeled intolerant. See, this is the situation that we live in. Jesus came as a radical. He loved all people. Don't get me wrong. But the good news is available to all people. But they have to believe in him. That's the only way to be right with God. The only way. And that's the message that Christ is sending today. And we know this. Christians, we know this. But I wonder sometimes about those who aren't so solid and rock solid in their faith. I wonder about some of those who are struggling somehow. And when they hear something like this, they say, how can that be? And what do you mean? And why don't our friends get included in this? And so you could be, say, a teenager who comes to this church service amongst us and is just wondering how to juggle life. They're just trying to figure things out. And they're wondering on how this all works. After all, they get 24 hours, 7 days a week, this information. And they may have, between devotional time and church services and maybe youth group or something else, they may have maybe 2, maybe 3 hours a week of real interaction with God. Maybe. Or maybe you're not such a young person and people look at you like you're rock solid in your faith, but you got these serious doubts going on. And you're saying, like, I don't know, was he really raised from the dead? Did he really beat death? And you struggle with this. And that's okay. It's good to struggle with your faith. It's good to ask these questions. On the other hand, you may be passive about your faith. You just, whatever. You know what? I just let the day go by. I don't rock the boat. I just sort of live life. Whatever. Whatever happens, that's fine. I'm not going to get too crazy about it, you know? Well, yeah. You may be on the fence too. Maybe that certain thing has happened in your life that's rocking your world right now. And you don't know up from down. How are you going to be the light in the world? How are you going to be that vine that that spreads the fruit of patience and kindness and peace and love and joy and self-control to the world, to show that you're a Christian? It comes with remaining steadfast in Christ, understanding that his work in this world you are an extension of his work in this world, that you are part of it. It comes with understanding that it's only through him and being convicted of that. No matter what happens outside of here, outside of church or outside of your Christian friends and your Christian circles, it's understanding that it's okay to have that discussion, an honest discussion with people about your faith. And about that assurance that you know in your bones that it's about Jesus. You know it like you know it, if you know what I mean. Once again, we are shown that we are not only the recipients of such grace that we could say, thank you, Jesus, for being the only way. Thank you for that. But we can say, thank you, Christ, for allowing me to be a part of this ministry to the world for you. And how do we know all this stuff? Because the same I am that was at the very beginning is Christ, the Son. He's the one who created life. He was in on the conversation. When God said, let us make humanity in our image, let's make man in our image, humanity in our image, Jesus was there. Christ was there. The Son was there. He's in on the creation of life. And he knows who you are. And he knew who you are before you were even born, before you knew who you were. Or your grandparents or great-grandparents knew who you were. He knew you. And he knew you so well that he knew that he could die for you, this Son of God. This is how we know that Jesus is the gate. Because he not only provided life for you, he also died so that you could be right with God. This is that most important piece of information that you need to know when the bottom drops out of your life. Getting advice for fixing your toilet, you can do online. Getting advice for how to be right with God, you go right to the source. To Christ. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for that understanding once again that you are God. We thank you for bringing Jesus into our minds, Lord, and help us to see that through Christ that we are saved, that we are right with God. And that the rest of the stuff that comes our ways are like those who want to kill and steal and destroy. Those who are thieves and robbers and trying to get the back way into the sheep pen. Lord, when it's all about you, help us to go through the gate. Bless us, Father, as we move on today, as we move on from here and as we interact with others. And may your name be on our lips when we do that. Give us the strength, the boldness, the courage to do so. In Christ we pray. Amen.